I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, people? You're listening to the 2 Pro 1 Slow podcast, brought to you by Factory Image Racing. Check them out on Instagram at Factory Image Racing. They offer a huge range of hard parts, service parts, tools, and more.
Right, we're back for one more episode. It's number 7, is it? 6?
7.
7, number yeah. 7. Sponsored by Factory Image Racing again. And if you're watching, you can see we've replaced the useless Dosser in the middle with another useless Dosser.
Yeah. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So we've got Billy's mechanic, Lee, with us today.
Tommy's having a nap.
Tommy's asleep, isn't he?
Do I get Tommy's day rate?
Yeah, well, you can get 10% of Tommy's day rate if you want, which is 10% of nothing's nothing.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that didn't take off from despite his best efforts. Tommy's here and goodwill. It's just me and Ed that get paid.
It was a bit last minute there. She sort of just sprung it on me last night, so I haven't really written any notes or done anything of any worth, so...
No, that's better. It's freestyle.
I've got some voice notes.
I've seen there's been voice notes coming in. I got loads of questions to my story about Stan.
Yeah, we did on
so
the 2 Pro.
I think we could just freestyle on. Basically, I've just been away in Spain for the week for the Husky bike launch for the new models and stuff, and then flew back. But then we're heading back out to Italy tomorrow for an unknown amount of time, probably at least a good couple of weeks. So we decided... do a podcast before we go. And Tommy is already away racing this weekend at Fox Hills, so we decided we'd sub him in for Stan, who would be meaning to get on the podcast anyway. I think it would have been good still if Tommy was here, because Tommy and Stan seem to have this bit of a connection between them.
Do you like Tommy, Stan?
Yeah, I do, actually. We get on quite well. He's on my wavelength, to be honest.
They're both thick as fuck. But anyway, so now we've just filled him with Stan, so...
Yeah, he's been a requested guest. He's definitely... Well, there was quite a few people... In fact, there's a voice note of someone saying, when's Stan coming on?
Yeah, to be... Like I said to Billy on the way, I think this one will take off. We'll get a lot of...
Do you know what I want everyone that's watching to do? Because Tommy actually thinks that he's the only one that gets us the views... Share the life out of this one.
Please.
And tell everyone to watch it, even if it's for a second, just to get the click rate up.
I think it'll be good. I think it could. He is right, to be honest. He can generate the traffic himself, but he might as well share it anyway, just to help.
Yeah, but just so it's got more views than any others, so we can say to Tommy, look, mate.
We don't need you.
Yeah, we don't need you. And then we can just say, we can turn it into 1 Pro 2 Slow. In fact, no, you're not slow. You're quite good, aren't you?
Me and Billy have this discussion quite a while.
Well, what do you say to each other?
I got actually a couple of questions.
Yourself?
One of them was, how does Stan feel giving up his promising enduro career to be my mechanic, which he's obviously pissed. and just a couple, just asking who's faster between me and Stan. How good was Stan? Just a few about Stan's riding career. So go on. That's a good starting point. Tell me about your riding career, Stan. Where did you come from? What did you do?
Well, to be honest, my riding career didn't really take off as much as I wanted it to. And I was trying it. Yeah, it didn't really happen.
You had a good go at it, though, for a while, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. To be fair, I was 15, 16 when I went into enduro. So, like, started in trials and stuff. Then 15, 16, started enduro. Used to do British Enduro Championships, all the like GBXC sprints and Hare and Hounds. Done ISDE 6 days, did European race like rounds, done a few world rounds in the juniors, that type of stuff. And then, yeah, it just didn't really take off.
Yeah, you're pretty handy there on a bike.
Yeah, no, as I say, I could do it, but it... yeah, it didn't quite. I got to the age of like 20, 27, 28, never had a job in my life. And then, yeah, I've kind of got to there and just thought, right, it's time to take it a bit serious now, doing other stuff. So, yeah, that's when we called it a day.
When are you going to start doing that then?
Yeah.
Now that was one of the questions. Well, there was quite a lot of the same question actually, saying sort of how did you become Billy's mechanic or start doing your rock star job?
Yeah, it was kind of, it was weird. It was 2016 I started to know Billy. I didn't know him before that because obviously my brother and Julian, he was spending a bit of time down at his house and he used to do training schools and stuff with...
Stan's brother is obviously Paul Edmondson. For those that don't know, I'm sure most people listening will have heard of him, but if you hadn't done the maths or didn't know the connection, that's sad.
The one and only Fast Eddie.
The Fast Eddie. Mm-hmm. Fastest Eddie? Or are you the Fastest Eddie?
No, he's the Fastest Eddie, to be honest.
Anyway, continue.
So he was spending a little bit of time down the Midlands area, and I've seen him a couple of times. He rode, can you remember, you raced a sprint at Westwood.
You changed my foot pegs for us at Westwood because the foot pegs I had on were blunt and my feet kept slipping off. So I actually had some, I don't know how, I didn't have many spare parts in 2016. It probably just nicked them out of Graham's van or someone else's van. He changed my foot pegs. I was struggling away in between tests, changing foot pegs, and then Stan come over and did them for us. I had shot foot pegs for the rest of the day. It was about the first time. Oh, no, actually, I think earlier that week I actually bought tyres off you to ride the race that weekend. Do you remember?
No, I don't remember that. Selling someone else's tyres? No, that wasn't me. Must have been my dad.
I'd bought tyres off you earlier because I was at Paul's for that whole week, actually. I'd forgot about that. But then my main memory was you changing my foot pegs at the race.
Yeah, that's, as I say, that's when I first kind of knew you, and then you were floating around, and then obviously the end of 2016 you got a factory contract, and then you had a mechanic who started with him because there was a lad up Lancaster called Ian Holt, and he was sponsoring Billy as well, and he used to, when you seen Billy in like a big black sprinter at the races, that was him. So I'd kind of knew Ian and got to know him a little bit, and Billy had this mechanic, and obviously when you have a rider mechanic, you have to try and connect a little bit. It's difficult when you're on both on different pages and stuff. So the start of 2017, there was a British Extreme round in Wales, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And
very wet one.
A very wet one. And the week before that, Ian Holt rang me, and he just says, what are you doing what's your plan for the next 4 weeks? And I said, I haven't really got a plan. And he just said, do you fancy coming to Spain with Billy? So that we went to that race and stuff like that. And it was, I didn't obviously have no involvement at that race and stuff. Billy was with his old mechanic and Ian. I was actually, because it was Paul's event, I was actually marshalling. So Billy was obviously, he was doing well that day. He was leading. So obviously I'm racing around the fire roads at every opportunity I can tell him to slow down because he was leading by quite a lot. And back in 2017, it was a bomb waiting to go off.
It still is now.
It is, but it was
a manageable really,
bomb. This is tame now compared to back then. But really I was the boy was, that day, to be fair.
It really was waiting to go off. So I'm at every road crossing, slow down, like use your head and everything like that. So anyway, did that for about two laps. The laps are like 45 minutes long, so... He was convincingly leading quite good, to be fair. He did have a few minute leads. I'm there telling him to slow down and everything like that. So it's quite good. Got to the end of the race, kind of seen him on his way out and said, well done, that's that. And then Ian rang me that night and said, we're going to go to Spain. Do you want to come? I said, yep, no problem. But that the week before, I'd already agreed to go to America because Paul's son, Jack, he had just signed a contract to race GNCCs in America on the 125 for Coastal. And Paul was like, I can't go to the first round and stuff. I says, well, I'm not doing much. I said, if you obviously sort it out, I'll go. So literally I flew out to America on the Thursday, prepped Jack's bike on the Friday for the race, changed his mooses and stuff like that. He raced the GNCC on the Sunday. He won the first round there. I literally flew then on the Sunday night, flew back to Birmingham, and literally from, I didn't even go home or nothing, just literally jumped on then Birmingham to Spain and went straight to Barcelona. And Billy picked me up on the Monday then in Barcelona, just started doing stuff with him out there, just helping him and riding a little bit and just ended up just getting on, just clicking. But then it took, to be honest, Billy's other mechanic was still employed then. And obviously, to be honest, he'd not really done anything wrong. So you couldn't really, the factory in Austria and the Fabio in Italy couldn't really just sack him for, because he'd done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit difficult. So
you'd sort of, I didn't know this, but you was with Billy before he went to factory, Husky.
No, I signed for the factory, but my first mechanic was like, he did nothing wrong, like no reason to not.
So your first year you had a different mechanic?
Like for the first three months. Well, I think Stan will know what month he started getting paid, because that was the first time he'd actually got paid, I think. So I had a different mechanic when I first signed for the factory, also an English guy, but we just didn't get on and I didn't really know what I needed either at the time. Like, obviously, I'd only been doing enduro a year. I was actually just having this discussion with someone yesterday, one of the journalists at the Husky thing. It was a bit weird. I'd only been riding literally a year, then signed a factory contract and still hadn't really even done many races or many international races that first year, just because I couldn't afford to more than anything. So I was like straight in, like full factory, obviously every extreme race, bike parts. Like when I first actually signed, when I first got my first factory bike, I remember I rode it at just a track near my house, and it was at a farm, and he has a jet washer and it's super powerful, and it blew the sticker off the back mudguard. And I was like concerned, thinking, oh, I need to keep the sticker for like a race or something. So I remember put it behind the sun visor, thinking, oh, just in case I need to put it back on for like the first race I did.
I didn't realise you could get unlimited stickers.
Well, yeah, I'd never been a proper factory rider or anything like that. I didn't quite know how it worked or anything. So going back to like what we're on about, I didn't really know what I wanted or what I needed or anything really, and I just kind of knew, disliked him or anything, I just didn't see a future, and like didn't really build a relationship anyway. So Stan came out to Spain. Obviously, I'd met him in a couple of times the year before when I was kind of riding for myself and for Julian and KTM UK and just being around poles and what have you. So I kind of already knew him and got on with him. And then, he came out to Spain and worked for free for a couple of weeks. Or
a couple of weeks. 3 months.
Three months,
was it?
It was, started to work and stuff. And they eventually,
I think they give him like first they give him a polo shirt to wear.
Oh, and not because Billy wouldn't pay you, because the factory weren't paying you.
Billy's
got
mechanic.
A polo shirt, and then he got a kit bag, and then he got some pants, and then by the end of the third month, I think he got some wages.
Got a wage.
Yeah, we got a wage then. As I say, the first race that I was meant to do with Billy, professional race, was Le Gars in 2017. So I started to work at the start of May and everything. So
You are right, to be fair.
That was all good. So I went out to do the bike. Well, no, the week before we had a sprint at Rogers Hill. So we went down and did the sprint. Well, he had a bit of an accident, didn't crash, went round a corner, and there's like some glass, wasn't there?
No, it was a fiberglass pipe.
Yeah. And that went into his boot and literally went into his foot. You've probably seen on Instagram pictures and stuff. And it went in, and literally the last test he was lying second or third, and he says I'll go in the ambulance, but just duct tape my foot up so I can do this last test. And bearing in mind, like, it was into his boot, you could see his foot in the boot, and we're like, maybe it's, we got hers like Lagars next week, Billy, like it's gonna get infected and stuff. No, just put duct tape around it, I'll do this last test and I promise I'll go in the ambulance. So that was that. So he did the last test, finished third, got into the ambulance, took the foot off, ended up, obviously, he went to hospital. It was a bit more serious than what we thought. He'd broke a bone and got
I was expecting
infected
to be stitched up and riding the next day, but I was in hospital like a week, I think, in the end.
Yeah. You missed the race.
So I missed Lagares that first year.
I flew out.
But you still went, because I was in hospital. You were flying on like the Tuesday or the Monday, obviously, to get the bike ready for that weekend. I was in hospital still until I think the next week, so you were still there anyway. But yeah, my foot was quite bad. The actual break wasn't too bad. They put a pin in my foot. I think they wired my metatarsal. Is it metatarsal or metacarpal in your foot? Tarsal.
Metacarpal.
Metacarpal is your hand. So it was my metatarsal. Basically, I just hacked my little toe off my foot. So they put it all back on, but because I'd rode the last test with it kind of all open, it got infected and dirty. I had to go into theatre twice.
Fuck's sake. Why didn't you just listen when they go, look, just give it a rest? Was the British Extreme for anything? Was you even winning?
British sprint? I got 500 quid for that. Oh, no, not. I would have got 500 quid if I won at it. Probably got, I think it was 100 quid or 150 quid for coming third.
You idiot. And there was, other than a financial gain, there was no points, no championship.
Of course, it was the first round. I was going to go for the championship. Right. Obviously, I didn't because I missed the second round because I was in hospital the second day. Jack was also in hospital that day. Do you remember?
Yeah.
We were in hospital together. Yeah. Jack Eddie. So Stan's, Paul's son, Stan's nephew.
Yeah.
Had crashed earlier in the day and broke his wrist, so we were in Dorchester Hospital together for a few days.
I can remember on the Sunday night, taking them both a Domino's pizza. and then
sat watching Supercross, I think, on my laptop in hospital. I was on a ward. It's a bit off topic, but it's a good story. I was on a ward. I'm guessing there was no space or left on the orthopedics ward, and I was on a ward full of old people, and none of them knew where they were. There was a guy in the bed opposite us who thought he was on a boat. Every morning he'd wake up and he'd go, we're docking today, son, be careful they don't throw you off.
What were they pumping him full of?
Honestly, it was mental. And then there was another guy in the bed next door to him, so like opposite me and down one, who would just get up and wander, but he had a catheter in.
Fucking
so he'd do like three steps and then that would pull and then he'd just hit the deck. Split the bag, it would go everywhere. It was an eventful
piss all
week. Yeah, piss all over the place. He'd do two steps and his catheter would pull and then that would be on the deck. Honestly, it was mental.
I ended up going to Italy and obviously we never really told him what had happened to start. We were just, and then about the Wednesday when I got there, we went, yeah, Billy's not racing, he's broke his foot. And I said, what shall I do now? And they went, oh, you're going to Portugal? So I literally drove. The other mechanic had the shits. So... Honestly,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I literally drove from Italy to Portugal. Never really been away like with the team or anything like that. This guy's having the shits, so I had to drive the whole way from Italy to Portugal. No rider, help put the tent up. Literally,
I'm guessing with a load of people you didn't really know.
Yeah, well. Never met them before in my life. Yeah, and it was. I don't even think.
You didn't even stay for the race, did you?
No, I didn't even. No, I did. I stayed for the race, and then Sunday they flew me back home. Then so that was the thing, and then my actual first race abroad was Erzberg with him.
Mm. Yeah, because I remember that everyone said I wasn't allowed to do Erzberg when I was in hospital.
Is that the year you drank petrol?
No. This was 17. What did I do? Come that year? I think I was fifth or sixth. I do shit at Erzberg every year, but to be fair, I shouldn't have actually rode. I still had like a moon boot on when I was walking the track and stuff.
You'll never learn, will you?
No.
Nah.
So is your toe missing or not?
50 quid for finishing third.
The little toe was just off to the side.
It was just dangling off my foot. It was all still attached, but I finished the last test anyway, and it was St. John's Ambulance at the track. And so I literally gave my bike to Stan and got in the back, and then it was this woman, this youngish woman, I'm guessing like a student or whatever, went to take my boot off straight away, but there was a split like on the top of my boot, which you could see like directly into the flesh was coming out, which was just taped over. And the woman went to just take my boot off without even undoing the tape or anything, and I was like, whoa, 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 whoa,
just yank it.
Just before you do that, you probably want to take that tape off and just make sure, see how it is. So anyway, I took the tape off. I still thought I'm just going to hospital and getting stitched up and I'll be racing the next day. And I got to hospital, I was going to send you for an x-ray. And I'm like, no, I don't need an x-ray, it's fine. Come back for an x-ray. She went, yeah, you're going to be staying tonight. I thought, brilliant. But anyway.
Well, you had a bumpy start.
We like a good injury chat on this podcast,
yeah,
don't
we? Yeah, you do. We've had a bumpy start to working together, but since then you've accomplished some big things.
From then onwards, you were actually employed and
my first
member of staff.
May 2017 was my first ever paycheck in 30 years.
So yeah, as you probably gathered from that, it wasn't your typical mechanics route, but
so moving on after those races and that and the few years now, you've won two world titles together.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you've pretty much been there the whole of the professional career.
Yeah, pretty much from the start. I won indoor world championship with Colton.
Yeah, that's true.
As well.
He's fucking
Is that because he was injured?
Yeah, yeah, he was injured, and then
the championship.
They said,
oh, "Fucking hell,
Josh."
That was also Dorchester Hospital. In for that week as well.
He likes it down there.
Which is fucking miles away from my house. It's not the one for when you need to get picked up and you call everyone. Fancy driving 6 hours tomorrow? Come pick us up from hospital.
Yeah.
Tommy would pick you up.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, he'd have to have about four naps on the way.
So, yeah, actually.
He actually does pull over. Now he's got a motorhome, he pulls over and has a nap on the side of the road. I'm not even joking.
Useless.
Believe it.
Useless human being. But, yeah, so Stan was Colton's mechanic for the 2019 Super Enduro World Championship. So you're back-to-back Super Enduro Championship.
Yeah, back-to-back. Second the first year with you, wasn't it? In 2017. 18. Yeah. Second, you just passed Haddy in the last race, didn't you, to get second?
Yeah, he's had an incident with his shock, didn't he?
Yeah, he did have an incident with his shock.
What's harder to for like mechanic inside of things, like indoor or the outdoor stuff?
Well, that's a good question.
I thought that one up myself.
That was very good.
Outdoor's
harder.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. Obviously, indoor, we've had a few issues, to be fair, where we've had to change an engine in between races or after practice or after qualifying and he's had an issue and we've had to change an engine.
It's like a tight turnaround town, but usually an indoor day goes pretty smoothly.
Yeah.
Touch wood.
Normally, yeah, touch wood. Normally it does.
And I mean, it's not Colton, muddy, so you don't wash fantastic. Bikes or anything, but I guess you are.
I say with Colton, it was fantastic. Oh, yeah. It didn't change.
You had to do it wasn't. You used to phone us every time you changed a tyre saying, oh, fucking hate these tyre balls.
Ah, yeah, that was true, wasn't
fucking,
it? Yeah.
You're never using these fucking things in your wheels.
Yeah, in America, they use tyre balls, and there's like 36 you needed in the back.
What is it, like an inner tube?
Yeah, just like an inflatable.
It's literally like an implant fake tit.
Yeah.
And you pump them up individually to a certain PSI.
Yeah, each one had to be 6 PSI.
So, and then you put it in pumped up, or do you have to drill load of individual holes? Put them in pumped up.
And it was a nightmare. He's like, can we change a PSI to 5? I'm like, are you for real? Five. I've got to take every single tyre ball out. Put them to 5 and then put them all back in. And honestly, it was like 45 minutes, 50 minutes to change it.
Well, that's actually led us on quite nicely because we did a tyre change race here and you did both the front and the back wheel with a moose in 5 minutes something.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for my prize money.
This is it.
You're using it. This is the first time.
Oh, this is nice.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
This is your podcasting kit.
Yeah.
Technically, yes, it's a bit mine because this was like £1,000, 99 quid. So did 99 quid of it.
All right.
I've done some upgrades since.
Yeah, so we've had. These are Ed's. The two other cameras, all the cameras are Ed's. Well, the middle one's a shared camera, actually.
I'm quite happy that it's gone back in.
Why's the middle one a shared camera?
Because it was our project.
Oh, true. Yeah, I did upgrade that to film the Revolutions movie. By the way, I looked at that the other day. 256,000 views on.
It's a great segment.
It is a good segment.
I'm very proud of her work on that one.
I am too. Very proud. But tyre change challenge on your channel, Billy. I'm very proud of that, and it didn't get enough views.
No, it really didn't at all. So I don't know why. I thought that was.
It's great. It's so entertaining. Tommy trying to change a tyre to a moose.
That was good.
Good day that.
Yeah, it was.
Good crack.
Nothing but laughs was it all day.
No. Yeah, no, that worked. That was one of my better ideas, definitely.
I did do a few quick notes. One's a bit, it's a good note, actually. How do you put up with him, Stan? Because I get no end of videos on Snapchat of him fucking bullying the life out of you in hotel rooms.
Yeah, but I only do that because now people, that's what the people want.
Oh, my God.
It's got to the point where people, they'll know that we're at a test or at a race, and they'll be like... Send videos to Stan.
Fucking hell. He just rips his tat.
It is an absolute pillow. Nightmare.
Pillow one's the best when he's asleep, but just swipe the pillow. Billy!
He's just... He's,
back it up now!
The energy.
Go to sleep!
Got, it's just non-stop. You've been out testing and riding all day, and you think, right, when you get back to the hotel room, it's going to be mint now, innit? Have a shower, lie on bed.
What, you think he's going to crash and burn, he don't?
Yeah, no, and he just keeps going
I go quite hyper before bedtime, to be fair. I'm like a small child.
Oh, and he gets to the point, and he just, when I start, I go, Billy, when he starts, he's like, he starts to come down a little bit, and then he knows when I'm pissed off.
I would say, book me in any other room than his fucking room.
Well, funny enough, this week, the secretary woman that does our bookings and stuff like that for the World Championship, obviously Roxy's not here.
For races, we get our own rooms. It's just testing, usually, that works.
Yeah. And she's rang up and she's gone, she's gone, oh yeah, we booked Billy into his own room this week. I'm like, yes,
thank God. My way.
Yeah, I can be on my own.
Yeah, that's what you need. You don't need him. I get Snapchat sent to me of him smashing him with a towel, ripping his pillow, fucking anything. Yeah. All manner of stuff.
It's just abuse. That's all it is.
It basically
it is. It is. And I don't get that reflection in my paycheck for that. I don't, you know what I mean? It's not what I sign up for.
I've got a question on here again. I can remember it. Someone wrote something along the lines of, did you ever get paid your £50 for fixing the gazebo the other week?
Yes. I actually 60. Did. And it was 60.
He got 60 because I didn't have change.
Mate, he's profited.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, at least you paid him.
Yeah,
yeah, no, that was fair.
He said,
I didn't actually vlog that, I don't think. I think I forgot to put that in the vlog. Yeah. I was happy. Well,
you can see, but it works.
Now, to be fair to him, I wasn't that impressed that he'd just used a block of wood. And he didn't even do it. But he'd outsourced it. So I said to him, if this gazebo goes back down without being broken, then I'll give you £60 in. And he put it down and it was...
It took me about 10 minutes to put it down. I was just pushing the corners.
He wouldn't let anyone else help him. He was like, you've got to be gentle. Yeah. And it went back down, so I give him his £50, which turned out to be £60 because no one had a tenner.
Wow. Yeah, but I paid for the takeaway. So in the end, it was about £40. So yeah.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
We've been building a motocross track this last few weeks. Have you seen the video of him doing whips and scrubs?
Yeah. Yeah, I can actually watch them now.
Big, fat, dirty whips.
I was impressed. A lot of people were impressed with you.
A lot of people... To be fair, it has surprised me.
Yeah, Stan can vouch for it, though, because he's seen the early days whips.
Yeah, I sort of want to know this, like, when you said this 2017 Billy that was fucking loose as anything. How loose are we talking?
I found
about?
Right, I'll show
loose,
you.
Loose as in... He knew what he was doing but couldn't do it, or just
no,
loose.
No, it's just deadly. He didn't know what
crashes,
he was doing.
2017 and 2018, the crashes that I had and walked away from were just ridiculous. Like,
yeah, because coming from trials, I'd imagine you to be like quite steady, but it sounds like you're just wide open.
No, but I would say I think trials actually teaches you how to crash quite well.
Yeah, I'd vouch for that.
Because I knew when to get off it and when not to. I had some biggies 2000, even 2018 had some big crashes.
The amount of people that
but 2018 was probably worse because I was getting a little bit better.
The confidence was up here.
I remember there used to be a massive quad at Fat Cat, and I landed completely off the side of the track once into just the soft stuff on the side. That was like the week before, 2 weeks before the last Wes round. I was leading a championship.
Was that practicing for the sand race?
Yeah.
Is that practicing for that sand? Because the last one was sand, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was actually practicing for knockout. Yeah, there was the massive quad.
Trying to think where that is. Have they changed it now?
They've changed it now.
It was down the back, wasn't it?
Yeah, like down the back. It used to go like, the track used to veer left and veer back right again.
Oh, yeah, I know what
you mean. And you can just milk. I think Jake Carrot was the first one to do it.
Yeah, I remember it. You land off the right-hand side?
I landed off the right-hand side.
2018, obviously there's about 3 weeks to go before the championship race. So, like, wherever he went, we went with him. Like, normally, you know what I mean? You let him go practicing and stuff like that on his own and bits and bobs. And we're like, whatever you do, do not let him out your sight. Just stay with him, whatever you can. And he's throwing these whips. He's trying to whip and he's throwing it.
I really was bad at it.
And he just couldn't bring it back. He could get it out.
Tommy thinks it's bad.
And
now,
he just wouldn't come back, and he'd land and just bounce off into the side. He'd just crash. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
In episode 3 of Tommy's Dirt Bike Bits track build, there's a bit where he lands and comes up well short and bounces side to side.
I used to have people come back to the van and they're like, oh, Billy's not going to be coming in here. I'm like, why? He's had the biggest crash ever. You want to see it? And then next thing you know, he'd come back and you go, you're all right. Yeah, yeah. Have you had a crash? No. Are you sure? And he's like, no, not really, no. Oh, yeah, well, there was this little one. Like that. Oh, right.
Now, well, I go off. If my hands didn't leave the bars, it's not classed as a crash. Even if you land short and then slide out.
And right to the side.
If your hands stay on the bars, it's not a crash, is it? But
I like it when people say, like, oh, it wasn't that big, and then some, like, random person comes along and says, oh, I've got it on video, and you're going, fucking hell. Yeah, that was quite big.
This is how bad it was. The first Super Enduro season, it was more frustrating than ever because obviously he was a bit wild. He was used to take chances. Well, I got to a thing, I couldn't watch the racing. Honestly, he'd be leading and then Next corner, he's on the floor, and you're like, oh, fuck's sake, here we go. Three corners later, he's leading again. Again, he's on the floor, and this is how it went. Well, in the end, there was one race in Germany. For the first 6 minutes of the race, I went to the toilet. Literally, I took him down to the start, and I right, that's all right. See you in a bit. That's it. And I went back and just sat having a shit. And the race is going, honestly, God's honest truth. I can remember saying to him, and I just sat having a shit. And they come out the toilet and they went, oh, he won that one. I'm like, oh, that's all right. Did he have any drama? No, he was good. I'd missed half of it. I'd watched the last 2 minutes.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they were loose times. I'm happy to make it through that period of my life alive. Yeah, it was... was hairy. It was hairy. I would go out riding or whatever, and someone will just remember something that I've forgotten, because there was that many moments. People like, I remember when you missed that landing at this track, or do you remember when you jumped off in the midair in this track and stuff. But
there's no like one scariest thing that like sticks in my head, because they're all kind of scary, if you know what I mean.
I wasn't scared of it.
Do you remember 2017 first ever time on a super enduro track on the two stroke?
Yeah, that was really scary. That was loose. I've got
super
videos.
Super enduro tracks on two strokes is a bit.
It was just a full extreme two stroke, because basically I'd signed for the factory. That was like my first year, and I'd just signed to do outdoor races or whatever. But me and Stan and Ian were in Spain anyway, so we're going to have a go at super enduro. Obviously, I'd never been to a track or anything before. We're going to have a go on this super enduro track. And I thought I was the fucking bollocks. To be fair, I watched your videos back, and I'm fucking so shit. I had
quite
a day
practice. They've now, when was that? 17?
Yeah, no. And you won a title in 20? The next year, when I actually had a proper bike, I was sound, like later that year. So I went one day, and I'm fucking mint at this. Phones the team manager, messages the team manager. There were still two rounds of super enduro left, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I was like, can I do the next round of super enduro? He went, no. I said, right, please. Sent him the videos and stuff that I just begged him for like a week. And then something happened. Pascal Rauschnecker was riding for Husky at the time, and he wasn't really loving it. Obviously, he'd come from motocross, and he wasn't really loving super enduro, I don't think. So then something happened, and like they gave me like a glimpse of hope that I might be allowed to do it, didn't they?
Yeah.
I can't remember what they'd said, or someone had said something. And they're like, okay, but you might be allowed to do the next one. So then we're back to the super enduro track, and I was just like, just trying the most ridiculous lines.
There's a skip, wasn't there?
Yeah,
a
they've
skip
changed it
now.
It's like a step on, step off on the skip.
Splat to the tyre. Yeah,
step on and then splat it
so
off.
So dangerous.
Yeah, deadly. And then full extreme bike as well. So anyway, like I did like a week of training on my full just normal extreme bike, and fuck, I was so bad. I couldn't go around corners. I still hadn't learned how to go around corners by that point. And anyway, like the day, a couple of days before, in the end, they said, oh no, you're not allowed to do this.
Did we actually go and watch?
Yeah, we went and watched the last two rounds just because, obviously, I wanted to do it that winter. So we decided to go and watch the last two rounds anyway. And it was quite good. When I got to the first one, I actually thought, maybe I'm not that good.
You now... I think I've heard you say that. You think it's made for you, that sport, don't you?
Yeah.
That's your, like, you love
it. It suits us probably better than anything. I think it has, like, to be good in that, you need to have a pretty good mix of technical skill and kind of, like, aggression and, like, speed. And I think now, yeah, I've definitely, have the right characteristics, I think, to be good at it. And
it
I think it's
so good to watch. It's honestly... I am not just putting smoke up his arse, because to be fair, I am quite negative when it comes to him, but he's just night and days. When you watch him, he is just night and days faster than everyone else. But it's just...
Oh, God!
No, it's kind of scary, because like...
You just want a rise, don't you?
Yeah, I just want to pay a rise, get that in. But no, it's scary to watch how much faster than him, but the problem he has, then he'll crash. Like, you know what I mean? He'll go and pull 3 seconds a lap, then he'll crash. So he's behind then. Then he'll pull it back, crash again. Mm. Where, to be fair, it's only...
No more,
but that's what it was like. Now it's changed, obviously.
Yeah, I think super enduro has actually helped also, like, with my motocross and my jumping as well. I think... I know they're kind of, obviously, not different styles of jumps, but it just... that spending that time and, you know, being at super enduro track every day and... doing motors all day, every day, and just spending time in the air.
You're probably jumping hard. It's probably harder.
Yeah,
to jump
because
one
you're
them.
Getting kicked a lot kicked, more.
Yeah, and so you probably
you've got
better,
to control
yeah.
it and fight the bike a lot more midair. Yeah. So I just think spending the time in the air with the wheels off the ground and also the awkwardness of a super enduro jump, I think, has definitely safened my motocross skills.
I think Tommy would beg to differ, but
yeah, but he's just a
Tommy's
horse,
coming round slowly, isn't he? He's starting to.
He's funny. He's a funny bloke.
Yeah, we definitely have different perceptions of danger.
When I very first met Tommy, there was like we'd built some jumps up at the track there, and he'd built like a double with another double, and then a double after it. But you could probably triple it, but then you weren't going to do anything. You'd have to single anyway. So there was no need to do it. But he was adamant. Yeah, I'll have a go at that. And that, his first day on factory KTM, they bought a bike from the destinations that Tyler Rattray had rode, and he said, "Oh, this is quicker than the bike I've been riding. I can do that triple today." And I'm like, "Fucking hell!" Like, and he just comes off the face of this jump to the side, like easily, like as big as the big jump up there now, to the side, lands on the flat, and went, "Yeah, that's doable." And then did it. I'm like, "Fucking hell!" Like, there's no way to do it now.
Yeah, that's
he wouldn't do nothing now.
Bless him. But. Then at the same time, we went riding last week. He just jumps once, and then went upside down, like fully upside down on his second time hitting it. He still has his spells where you go, fucking, yeah, you're proper. And then 99% of the time, he's a moaning little bitch.
He's, I'll play you this while we're here.
All right, you useless wankers. It's just me. I thought I'd check in. Hopefully the show's going well. Probably not as good as the others without me there, but hopefully Stan's holding it down. And, Silly Billy's on top form. That's it, really. No real need for this voice note, but yeah, well done.
He wanted to send his love.
Oh, very good. Has he sent that on Anchor?
Yeah, he's worked out how to do it.
He's impressed us there.
No, of course he hasn't. He WhatsApped me. He went, "I couldn't work out how to do Anchor. Fuck that. Here, play this."
Oh, right, there we go. That sounds about right.
He's king class. Absolutely class.
He is brilliant. Like, a lot of people actually say to us, like, "Oh, he can't be like that in real life, or he's got to be playing it on for them vlogs," and like, he's not. Like, I promise, even before we started filming vlogs, whatever, he was literally the bang same, just as dopey, as stupid, as moany, as lazy, as everything as you can imagine. It's like just fully how he is, bless him.
He's an entertaining for the character. World.
No. People have come up to me and they've gone, "Is he really that, like, we knew that he was kind of a bit dull and stuff like that. Is he really that bad?" I'm like, "No, he's not." I said, "But it's the way that he comes across to some people, isn't it? That's how his thing." But
he's changed his brilliant. Perception of a few people. The most common thing that I see on comments or people tell me is, "Oh, you used to think he was a bit of a knob, but
quite like, you know." Yeah, I see. Since he's started hanging out with me, he's been marketed towards the working class, towards the common folk, and people have realised that he's actually quite normal. Bless him.
I've got another question here before we go.
I'm going to have a quick look at mine.
Well, we'll do the voice notes in a minute, but my one question is, because you told me about this the other week, you're quite good at winding other riders up, aren't you, Stan, before a race? Getting in their heads?
Yeah, there's a few riders in the World Championship who, I don't know, they're very easy to get into the heads.
Yeah. Stan's quite good at, he gets the gist of people quite quickly, so he knows.
Yeah, I can judge people quite well.
He judges people quite quick, and he's very good as well, a bit unrelated, but also not, like, at just picking things up at a race, do you know what I mean? Like, if someone's changed something, or if someone's got something different on the bike from the last race, or if someone starts going a different line, just picking stuff up way faster than kind of what anybody else would. So he's always like first to be able to chirp in or something, or to...
Is that like putting a massive fuel tank on for last week's Hawkston Super Enduro? Spending all night in the garage doing it.
That was a bad week. Yeah. We don't talk about last week, 2 weekends ago.
That's gone
bad
now. We've finished that. But no, bad going
day.
Back to that, I mean, it all kind of started... As I say, you'll all know one of the riders. It's obviously in Super Enduro between Billy and Taddy. And Taddy is, he's first class at mind games and stuff like that. He is really good. I mean, he's got so much experience from it and stuff like that. But he's kind of met his match.
What, with you or Billy?
Both. Both. Because first ever super enduro that Billy did, free practice, Billy lands his bike clean on the back of Taddy's seat.
Really?
In practice.
Yeah, he started slowing down. I can't remember what he did. But anyway, I just wheelied at him in the middle of the matrix.
But for no reason.
Well, no, he was doing something. I can't remember.
As I say, we tied it.
He was slowing down and speeding up by saying in practice. I can't remember exactly what he was doing, so I just wheelied at him.
I mean, he's always first in the queue to try and get out onto the track first. Then he's like controlling it from the front a little bit, you know, slowing down, going fast and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, I was stood with, I think it was Taddy's mechanic, or I was stood with someone on the side, or our team manager actually, Andy. And I'm like, Taddy won't be doing that for too long. And like, people could see what he was doing. And then next thing you know, this husky comes launched clean across the matrix and just lands clean on his seat. And then that was literally the first practice session. So that was quite funny. But like, at the end of the day, he's an athlete and he's going for the world championship as much as anyone else is. But he just tries to do like silly things about trying, because he thinks obviously Billy's young and stuff like that, to try and get into his head. So me being a little bit more experienced, you can kind of read what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So like going up to the start or coming, he tries to look at him and give him the old thing. I'll just stand in the way. Or if Billy's pulled and he's going onto the gate first and Taddy's like behind pushing Billy onto the gate a little bit, I'll just stand behind Billy and behind him and like play with me flies or something like that to hold Taddy up from going onto the gate. And just little things, and like saying that we've tested different stuff and like, what do you think to that? And just
you need that. That's good stuff.
Can,
I like that.
You can play, you can just play him good. A little bit. But no, it's obviously
we do have quite a good rivalry with me and Taddy, because I know Taddy's not been scared of having a rival or two in the past, and it used to get quite leery between kind of him and Knighter, especially back in the day, and you know, like him and Colton. But me and Taddy have actually got quite a good level of respect for each other, to be fair.
No, I mean, he's a good bloke. He's a dick when he's on a track, but he's a very, very, very good bloke. Like, you go round, didn't
he's
we,
the best,
when we're in Spain?
Like, and in a race, to be fair, I give him credit as well. I don't know how he's... I've never raced against someone who can know where you're going to be, even though he's in front of you so well. Like, whatever line you've got up, like, plan,
he just closes the door.
Yeah, he closes the door so well, but, like, he's just... I don't know if he's got fucking supersonic hearing or some kind of reverse parking sensor on his back mudguard.
How many world championships has he won super enduro? Eight?
I think seven, but I'm not sure.
You don't do that overnight, do you, if you know what I mean? He's very clever in what he does.
Racecraft is very good. Yeah. I've definitely learned a lot from battling him and racing against him.
Yeah. But as I say, there's a few riders, to be honest, that you can kind of play with and get into their heads a little bit. I mean, with what they do and stuff like that, you have got to be very, very headstrong. So
he's won...
But yeah, we just have a go.
Six consecutive titles, it says.
Yeah. And obviously he won the AMA Enduro Cross as well, so...
Yeah,
he used to do some big jumps back in Enduro Cross.
Yeah, he had some big balls.
If anyone wants something to do, go and search some of Taddy's highlights from when he was in America doing Enduro Cross back in the day, because he used to do some massive jumps.
Me and Taddy have a joke, to be honest, when like at the Super Enduro and stuff, when he first started and stuff, because, obviously it's rivalry, we're going for the same win, but if Billy had done something wrong, Taddy would complain. So, like, we jumped on the bandwagon. If Taddy'd done something, we give him a bit of grief for. And I'm just like, Taddy, Billy is a young version of what you was. Do you know what I mean? Because, like, ball's massive. Like, Taddy would try anything. You know what I mean?
Just jump whatever.
Just jump whatever, have a go at anything. And as I say, Billy's come in and kind of, he does the same. So, obviously, it's took a while for Taddy to get that into his head.
That's what you want.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to play some of these voice notes for you. We'll start here with Pip Davies.
I think Tommy's scared to race Matley. If Tommy's not going to do it, does MX Bill want to do it?
I'll step in, no problem. I actually said we're in Italy for a couple of weeks and we'll have one weekend off when...
Yeah, I don't know how his mind works. When he says this, and he's genuinely being serious.
I know what you're going at.
Majora Rounders, and there's AMX Open Class. the weekend we have off and we're in Italy, like, it's just meant to be, but I can't get anyone else on board with this EMX Open. I don't know if it's because it's like middle of the extreme season or what, but yeah, I'd have a rip. Matley in the MXGP classes maybe is a bit out of my league, but no, that's if right. Maybe never say never, maybe it's one day.
Jake Kay,
but I agree, Tommy's scared.
He is scared. And also, I don't mean he's allowed to do it, but that's a separate subject.
Yeah, we'll save that for a motocross podcast.
All right, lads. One thing, Bill. I know you give Tommy a load of shit for being a dosser, but I have to say, unfortunately, his intro music on the vlogs is better than yours. Sorry, lads.
Stan agrees with that also.
Yeah, I do agree with that, to be fair.
I even agree with it, and I made him both.
Yeah, but like Billy's...
Because Tommy's has got them words that you remember. What is it?
Let me tell you something, though.
Yeah, that's the one. But Billy's, to be fair, Billy has grown on me.
I've actually got them both.
To start with, it was thing, but now it's good.
This is Tommy's.
Yeah. Nah, that's
good. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, really good.
Right, and yours is... Well, even when I did yours, I knew it was a bit shit.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced on it either, but we can't have the same song, can we? I don't mind it.
We'll work on a new one.
Tommy has just... All right, who do you think you are? DJ Khaled.
Another one.
Just to give you a bit of context, though, Tommy has zero say or clue or anything to do with the intro songs.
Of his vlogs.
Well, and yeah.
Do you know what he's trying to tell me today? It'd probably be out, but I don't know when I put this one out, but the Dirt Bike Bits episode, three episodes, I told him let's release them back to back. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monster Energy came to film with Sam Pilgrim, and now he's got a... hold back on the last one because he's got to add more bits and stuff to it, and he's now telling me what's going on. Oh. Yeah. I just let him know. I said, you do realise you don't pay me, Tommy.
So yeah, in relation to the voice note, Tommy's is better, but mine's not bad. I don't. Ed's responsible for them both. Don't be giving Tommy the credit for having a better intro tune.
I think
that's what I was getting at. He doesn't
new intros credit. Anyway for every year. So
that won't be forever. Got some. We'll have fresh clips, won't we? Because them clips are going to be outdated soon, so we've got to keep it fresh.
Yeah, we'll do some new ones at some point when I got some time. George Ward.
All right, Stanley, how's it going? It's George again. I just wanted to know. Well, I think everyone likes to know what you actually do on a day-to-day basis.
Do you know this bloke?
Yeah, I know him quite well. To be fair, he's like you know. In the village where you live and stuff, you have the village idiot. Yeah, that's him.
Well, you've played that question really well. I tip my hat to you there, Stanley.
No, it is. I know George quite a lot, but he doesn't even go into what he does, to be honest. So.
Well, he's answered his own question, has he?
Yeah.
Right, here we go. Lucky.
Okay, hope he's all going good. Just wanted to see if Bill would be... He'd be at all keen on coming down to Australia and have a go at the Fink. It's not quite the Dakar, but might be something he'd be good at and have a bit of fun. We don't see too many international riders having a go, so it'd be good to see him get amongst it. Yeah, boys, cheers.
I didn't actually hear the first bit of it, but I heard Fink, so I'm guessing he asked if I'd be keen to come and do Fink.
Yeah, that's in Australia.
Yeah, it's desert race. I don't know too much about it. I know... Sanders is big keen on it. I would definitely never say never. Before I kind of retire, at least, I would like to have ticked as many boxes and done as many different races as possible. So I'd definitely be keen. If the opportunity came about, if the stars aligned, then I'd definitely be keen for a go.
Do you fancy a trip to Australia, Stan?
Yeah.
It's good. Have you ever been? Good.
No. New Zealand. I've been to New Zealand.
Oh, it's even further.
But no, not Australia.
Is that when you're an international 6 days rider?
Yeah, that's when I used
to
race.
Did you win?
No.
You went all the way to New Zealand for a race?
Yeah, you know, like...
Go on.
It was... do you know, like, they have the MXA Nations and stuff like that? Well, we in Enduro, it's called the ISDE, the International 6 Day Enduro. And yeah, I went there to race for Great Britain.
Fucking hell, long way.
Yeah. Each year is different.
How'd you get on?
Shite.
Did you finish?
I actually raced in New Zealand. I raced for a club team. in New Zealand? Like, obviously, you have the junior and the trophy team that represent Great Britain, and then you have, like, add-ons, like, on the end of the entry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there was three of us in this team, and it's a bit of a funny story, to be fair. Obviously, you have your day set out, don't you? Your start day, your start time, and everything like that. Well, it was quite a difficult race, and I was number about 450, and there was like 600 riders, so I'd be catching up with riders in front of me. And because the going and stuff was quite difficult, on one of the days, we got to this spot, and they'd cut the section out. So I didn't realise that they'd cut it out, and there was like it was only the size of this. It was like a gully that went down, and this was full of water, and you had to jump across the top, and all the riders that were like going over the bridge, I know the queue was massive, so I thought, oh, I ain't waiting in that queue, because obviously you're on the going, it's not timed, but you have a certain time to do the like the checkpoints. So I went up this like ravine a little bit to see where I could jump across, so I ended up jumping across, but as I got the other side, there was loads of tree roots, and the bike just spun and went down into the ravine, so I had to stand on the seat then to get out of this ravine. So that was, I was like, oh, what am I doing? I can't get it out physically. Things, I called some riders over, and they were like, you ain't getting that out of there. So I was like, oh, fuck, you great. So I've kind of let the team down, or let thing. I'm like, oh, fuck's sake. So anyway, I carried up, like I walked, probably walked about 3 mile on the going, and I managed to come to this like farm in the middle of nowhere. And he had a Suzuki, like wrapped off old Suzuki thing, but he had a wrench, like a, what they call it,
like a boom arm or something,
yeah, on the back,
and he just lifted you out.
So eventually, this is an hour later, we managed to get back to the bike, he's lifted me out, we got the bike going upside down, and it was in the end, like the whole period was about 3.5 hours, so there was no other riders in the woods, there was no one doing nothing. So, but because this checkpoint had been scrapped, basically in an enduro you have like an hour, and if you're over that hour you're out. But because this checkpoint had been scrapped, as long as I continued and finished, then they'd scrap that checkpoint. I was still in for the next day.
Oh, wicked.
So anyway, I finished at 9:30 at night. I was the only rider, literally by the paddock, there was a special test. And all the riders who had finished were walking this special test, ready for the next day. And there's me flat out around it, 9:30 at night with my headlight on. Literally, I was the last rider to finish. But as long as I finished, obviously my bike was back in for the next day. So yeah, that was my trip to New Zealand.
Well, hopefully you on to Australia will go a little bit smoother.
No, I don't think I'll get to that.
Right, one more.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Dirt Snell over here. Just want to say thanks for the lack of content that you keep on producing. My question is based or aimed at Billy and Tommy. Bill, when you started your pro career and you got the factory Husky seat, was there any offers in the pipeline, and what made you decide to go for Husqvarna? And then the same thing to you, Tommy. How did you end up on the Honda seat? And yeah, just a look into how you guys made your decisions to choose the factory bike that you're on.
Well, Tommy's not here to answer that.
Tommy's not here.
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah, go on, you answer it.
Tommy.
Oh, it's just about the money, isn't it?
We've got like international voice notes.
Yeah, I thought he said lack of, but is lacquer like
no, lacquer is like good in South Africa.
I
like,
see, yeah. I've not spent any time there to know.
Lacquer brew. Lacquer
brew, that means good.
It's good, mate.
Lacquer brew to me sounds like, would you like a brew?
Lacquer brew, like lacquer, good for any non-Zaffas out there. No real offers. It was kind of done quite early in the year, to be honest, to sign with Husky. I was speaking a little bit with one of the manufacturer. Manufacturer's a blue bike, but nothing really was materialising. I think they were trying to convince us that there was KTM or Husqvarna probably weren't interested in us and stuff, but I'd already kind of, you know, had the foundations laid with the factory team, so no real offers or no reason to look elsewhere, to be honest. I was obviously pretty stoked. I'd been riding enduro for under a year at the time, and to have a factory contract and to be getting paid to ride motorbikes like was my dream since I ever could remember, so I had no real visions elsewhere other than to crack on with it.
There we go. Right, one from Ryan.
You all right, boys? Do you reckon we can get Billy and Tommy's managers or mechanics on the one of the podcasts?
Well, I just put that one in because we...
Do you want to get your manager on, Billy? Or?
I knew I was coming. No? That's Tommy as well. Tommy might want to... Yeah. I was actually thinking the other day when Ben was on here, that would be a good question to do as a giveaway. What do Billy, Tom and Ben all have in common?
If you know, put it in the comments below.
That's the question.
All right, one more.
Oh, fucking lads. This quick message for Billy Nuts and Bolts, Tommy Serlins, and Ed the Gaffer.
Tommy Serlins.
Boys, you're fucking smashing it. Wet my underpants every fucking single time I listen to it. So, yeah, it's not a message. It's not a question. No, it's not a question. It's just an appreciation message. Thank you, please.
Oh, good lad.
Good one to finish off. That's from Carl Myers. So cheers for that, mate.
Tommy Serlins, that's tickled us.
Tommy Serlins is a good one, isn't it?
Well done. Thanks for the voice. I like the voice note section.
It's getting more popular.
Yeah, definitely. I have it, the notifications on, but I withhold myself from listening to them.
It's better you do.
So it's full Raw Dog reaction. But yeah, if you want to leave a voice note, you need to make an account on Anchor and head to 2Pro1Slow, but you'll find it.
The link's in the bio of the Instagram page 2Pro1Slow, but it's actually anchor.fm/2Pro1Slow.
Yeah, and there's a section there that says
just click message.
I'll have a look for my questions for Stan.
Did you go into the are you logged into the 2Pro thing or did
no,
you do your
own? I posted your story off the 2Pro1Slow but then put where to ask questions. I put my own ask questions on top.
Okay.
So I used your story, so that's...
Well...
I got a lot of them. Look how popular Stan was.
Yeah, look, same here. He's the most popular guest we've had so far.
Yeah, that's more than what...
I told you it's going to take off. I said that.
Wally Boy's been on again. Would I have jumped that triple in Spain, Stan?
Yeah, Tommy is convinced the pipe triple and at La Metla. So you are...
Yeah.
Have you still got the video of that?
Yeah.
If you send it to me, I'll put it on the 2Pro1Slow.
So before the rock section, the double and triple. Mm. But he's relating to the time when I jumped it backwards out the corner and did a triple.
Not a chance.
He's adamant.
Convinced.
Adamant he's got that.
No. I'm sorry, Tommy. I love you to bits, but I ain't giving you that one. Not backwards, out the corner. That was impressive.
Forwards, I reckon he's physically capable, but I don't think he'd have the bottle to try it.
No, he's capable, but I don't think he'd do... If he's doing it that way, I don't think he'd do the double and the triple.
Yeah.
I think he'd have to go around the first one and then hit it.
The proper direction, I do think he is capable of doing it, but backwards, I don't think he's capable. I don't think anyone else has done it or thought about it, to be honest.
As much as I wanted to say yes for him then, because, you know what I mean? But couldn't.
No. What's the most bizarre thing Billy expects of you and that irritates you?
Ooh. To be fair, nothing majorly irritates me. Apart from nicking my pillow at night, that pisses me off. The bizarre thing, probably the grip.
Yeah,
that's a bit weird.
Yeah, I teach him how to stretch a grip.
Yeah, he did. But
the one that didn't keep his job wasn't the best at doing grips, which was probably the deciding factor.
Yeah,
and I was never a fan of the stretch grip, and then you done it on my bike, and now I think it's quite nice.
It's just how everyone says it's weird or whatever, but like a lot of trials riders do it. It's pretty normal in trials, and a couple of people have tried it. Ed being one of them. I went, oh, it's so comfortable, but it's just the way I hold my bike. I do have a problem with, when I was riding trials, I injured the ligament in my thumb, which I do hold on quite weird. Like, sometimes I'll pose GoPros and whatever, and, like, my thumbs are just completely straight on the handlebars. They're not even wrapped around at all. That's quite...
I think the first time I ever did a stretch grip, there was three of us. Honestly, we're at Ian Holt's house, and Billy's got the airline on the grip, and he was putting it on with the airline, but he was stretching it. We had to lock wire the first stretch. Then he'd stretch it a little bit more and lock wire that. And
depends
then
on the grip. Some of them stretch easy, like Pro Tape or what we use now, stretch pretty easy. You're just airlining.
There's a little bit of it's just precise math, isn't it? There's a certain centimetre measurement.
Stan's got 14. His measurement. Stan's got 14 centimetres down now.
But I've got to a point now that I just do it with grip glue.
Stan's perfect. Shit out of it now, to be fair. But I used the standard bike all this week at the press launch, and I really honestly do not like riding with standard length grips anymore. Like, I obviously can, like, it's not that big a deal.
That's exactly how I feel. Now I've tried it, I feel like it makes the bar, like, narrower and nicer.
Yeah, like, it's just nicer. I don't know, if you think it's weird, you think it's weird, but it's just what I like.
I thought it would, like, give you blisters more because it's... Because the grip's obviously smaller, there's not as protect it, but it doesn't seem to bother you, does it?
No, if I get that and this Hoxton was a bit different.
What happened to your fingers?
That was another another question. It's out there enough now. If you want to figure out what happened to my fingers,
it's in the last episode, I think.
Yeah,
I'll have a look.
There was another one on here. I remember we're looking at last night regarding. The other side of the grip, something about how do you get a really nice floaty throttle on a 300?
To be honest, just put a little bit of oil underneath, bit of two-stroke on the handlebar, put the grip on. But with Billy's, it comes... we put, like, new handlebars on. Not every time, don't get me wrong, but to get the feeling that you get, obviously, for a race, it's new handlebars, new throttle tube, new grip... and that gives the best feeling.
But regularly cleaning it prevents your handlebars from going scratched. Once your handlebar kind of goes scored and the end of your bars go all minging, you're fighting and you're pushing shit uphill. So regularly cleaning your throttle tube will definitely prolong the life of your handlebar.
Hello, I have a 2019 T300i and I'm having clutch issues. failing or dragging, best fix, please.
Mate, if I showed you my Instagram about clutches and about different things,
so you get. Believe,
that's all I get. And in the end, because you get him, obviously people message him and he just goes, message Stan. That's all.
The best one, right? There was this kid, bless him, and he had like a TTR on, a Suzuki DRZ 125 or something like that, and he's messaging going, I want to do a 2K, what modifications do I need to do to it?
And he's been serious.
Honestly, he's just been saying paragraph after paragraph about his fucking bike and what he needs to do to physically and mentally prepare for the 2K and what he needs to do to his bike. And
just he's just constantly messaging him.
Yeah. That's all he says, send it to Stan.
I used to give his number out when I've stopped doing that. I used to just say ring my mechanic.
No, it's here, isn't it? 07.
Oh, brilliant. But to answer that question, it is actually pretty difficult without looking at the bike and understanding what it's done. Yeah. Like oil, bleed your master cylinder, obviously new clutch plates.
Maybe take it to a shop.
Maybe it's a new spring. Yeah, like there's a million different things. Clutches, so there's a lot goes into them to make them work properly.
This is another recurring question, which is, I think it's funny. There's probably, out of all of these on here, Stan, there's probably half of them saying, what's Billy's parts tab? How much does Billy smash up bikes? What does it cost to make Billy's bikes?
Significantly reduced to where it used to be, actually.
17, 18, even a bit into 19. I don't think they're...
19 only rode half the year.
Yeah, but... you ride in half the years like other people ride in 3 years. So, no, I mean, yeah, back in 17, like I say, he was a bomb waiting to go off. I mean, we're on about, I can remember on the last time when you were on about the backflips.
I've just seen a message. What's the worst thing you've done to a bike to piss Stan off?
That was, I can't even get into that. When he tried that backflip, and he says, record me. So I'm watching it through the thing. I'm filming him, and I'm looking away so I can't film it, and then obviously watching it. And there was the one, and it just went up, and it just stopped.
The noise it made was horrible.
And then as it come down, it just went boom, like that, and the subframe snapped. It pushed away from the air boot. We couldn't even push the bike.
Too out to hold the bike.
Yes. Drag it back
out. Yeah, and it was right up on the top.
Whole way home.
And I'm just pushing him, and he's pushing, and he keeps looking back to see if I'm smirking. And I was not smirking. I'm just thinking, you've just done this for 20 seconds, and now I've got a day to fix it. That's what it's like. And to be fair, out of the whole 4 years, I would say there's probably been only three or four times it's actually happened.
I kicked
happened.
My headlight once. He didn't like that.
Yeah.
I'll admit
his
that.
But the funny thing was he kicked his headlight, but his foot got stuck in the headlight. And he tripped over.
That was... And I picked my bike up, and it fell over in a rock garden of a super enduro track. I'd crashed in a rock garden of a super enduro track going for the Instagram clip. And so got a bit angry anyway, put my foot through my headlight. I think to be fair, I was just falling over and I was adjusting my foot and it went through the headlight.
Yeah, right.
And it fell over on the side, the fuel pipe side, and it cracked my fuel line, pushed the starter button, fuel squirted out, hit us directly in the face, like directly in the goggles, and my goggle lens just exploded because of the fuel. A bit weird. Can't really picture that, I don't think, unless you were there. But
no,
literally just opened like a barn door. My goggle lens split down the middle.
Some of the things that, again, like we've done our practicing or whatever, and he's like, I need to go through this quite fast to get a video and stuff like that.
No, I don't never see that.
So then,
he's lying.
Honestly, we are there. Obviously he's got
most
a lot better
now. Most of the time
now.
That happens, it was faster when I was just doing it most in the
yeah. But
the
we're
day
there
anyway.
For like an hour, and we've done our motos or whatever, and then we spend an hour and a half trying to get a clip.
He's lying.
Or trying to do something like that.
Oh, I can feel your pain there.
Yeah.
Get another one.
Nah, I get quite fussy though when it comes down to stuff like that.
You know them step up rocks at Werndu?
Yeah.
I think it was at least 20 goes on the vlog, and then we had to do another 25 to 30 for Instagram.
Yeah,
on
I
the
feel
phone.
Your pain. I've been there. We're in the middle of Spain. It's 7:30, 7:45 at night, and we're trying to get an Instagram clip just for that. And
yeah, but I have high standards of myself.
I get that. I mean, it's got a lot better now. Obviously,
that is a valid point. You film something of it that I think, fuck me, I wish I could do that, and he just goes, nah, shit, don't even post it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot goes in the bin, which probably stupid, but if it's. Yeah, I'm quite a bit of fussy with the old
and then
gram content.
Does that? Can you remember that jump in Spain last year? This year was
the wheel tap one.
Yeah, the wheel tap off the tree.
Yeah,
and you just think he's just done that first time, and you just like
Jack
has
actually
done it.
Jack Eddie suggested it, and he just went, "No, don't need to do that."
We're on our way back to
that. A good turtle ride. We've been out for like 6 hours as it was, heading back to the house. Anyway, did the first one, when I scrubbed it proper hard, it was like, oh, that was sick. And then someone went, you're quite close to that tree. Do you reckon you could touch it? And no, you don't need to do that. And then I had like one sight and go, and then...
That was a great video.
Yeah,
that.
Very good video. And that was...
Have you been promising some free kicks to someone?
Whoever said that?
To be fair, I give it to everyone.
Logan Strett?
Logan Strett.
When is Lee giving me some free kicks that he said I could have?
He's a young lad down the local pub. So, yeah, probably had a few drinks, and I promised everyone, yeah.
Well, that's quite good, because the question next to it says, what's Billy like on the peeve, which I'm guessing means on the piss.
Yeah, peeve's piss.
Entertaining.
Great success.
Yeah, great success. Quite good, to be fair.
I think you're quite entertaining on the piss.
Yeah, I've got a load of questions. Why are you called Scanner?
Scanner, yeah. I can remember the first ever indoor we went to, I've been employed by Hus. No, I wasn't employed then, actually.
You're lucky to get employed after
Yeah,
these
I wasn't. I wasn't employed
anybody
by Husky.
Anyone knew who you were.
Yeah, and we'd gone out, obviously, after the Super Enduro, it got wild. Anyway, trying to walk back to the hotel, and it's like 5:30 in the morning, and you know, in like France, in a fancy town, they've got like the swimming pools in the middle of the roundabouts, mm-hmm. like with the statue and everything.
I don't
like
think
that.
They're called swimming pools, but yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah,
I completely missed that.
They're called fountains, mate.
Yeah, fountains.
Yeah, that's what it is. Fountain in the middle of a roundabout.
Yeah, that's
referring.
The one. That's
with a
one.
Fucking statue in the middle.
Swimming pool. Is that what you do when you get pissed? Swimming them.
Yeah, that's what he did. He decided to
got
take his clothes off and
start bollock naked and jumped in this. And about a year later.
Longer, I reckon.
Was
two.
It 2 years later, Josh.
I think it was at Ayersburg 2 years later.
Josh and Andy, the manager, he goes, yeah, I can remember 2 years ago in a fountain there was some hooligans swimming, stark bollock naked in this.
So they were factory mechanics. Obviously, yeah. He wasn't factory mechanics. They were factory mechanics leaving to go back to the factory on the Monday.
The next
on the,
morning.
On the Sunday morning. Stands there naked in the fountain.
And that was our first introduction. I said,
I've got a video of that if you want us to put it on the YouTube right now. We might get demonetized for nudity.
Yeah, no, we can't do that.
We'll have to do like an uncut, Bill's uncut. We're getting people to subscribe.
To be fair, I was thinking.
You can make an OnlyFans, Stan.
Yeah, I could do, couldn't I?
The bloke messages you, doesn't he, for that?
Yeah, it did. I didn't actually accept the message, but they reckon they want to put Action Sport onto OnlyFans.
Yeah, right. They just want you to get your Corey out.
So, it didn't. His message didn't get accepted. I did find it weird. He also messaged someone else.
Send me the link.
Who was
it? Tommy, I think he messaged.
Did he message Tommy?
He also messaged me saying, can we use your content on OnlyFans?
Oh, yeah, well.
I was thinking actually on the way here, I was like, you could do an uncut podcast of what the 4 years been like.
Do you know what I'm really looking forward to? The day that Tommy and Billy both retire. Nah, we can sit down exactly and go, right.
Yeah. Ed's got a video for when I retire.
Yeah, I've got a few and some good stories that we can go, whoa.
Yeah, I think I've got plenty of videos.
So make sure you subscribe because in 15 or so years.
Bang the subscribe button on now. You never know. You never know when it might happen, but Ed's got a couple of good videos.
Ed, please ask Stan if he's bought any TVs from service stations.
Do you know what I've seen? Which reminded us of that. We'll go back to that story in a minute.
I don't even know what that one is.
I do not know what it is. Okay, you can tell the story.
Are we going to have to cut this?
No.
It's brilliant. This was before you had a job as well.
Yeah, this was before I had a job. Obviously, before I had a job.
Who's asked that?
Rich Ealy.
Yeah, before I had a job, I was like a bit of a wheeler dealer, you know, I still do a bit now, buy anything, sell anything.
Well, yeah, that was another one about your mats, but you can fill on with that at the end.
Yeah, so I'd gone up the M6, it was actually me and Paul's Pop youngest man. Son, Popman.
Harry. You met him the other day.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, so me and him had gone, I'd actually gone to meet Jamie McCanny for something, to drop some off. So we're in Nantwich, the services, just off the M6, so we're sat there waiting for him. Anyway, these like pikeys come round and they're like, do you want to buy a telly? And I was like, you know, just so happens I do, you know. Yeah, I was at that stage. I do want to buy a telly. Yeah, I've got these 50-inch curved TVs. I was like, okay, mint. Yeah, how much? He says, 150, but we're going back to the boat. You can have it for 100. I said, 80 quid and you've got a deal. He goes, for you, sir, today, 80 quid. So I was like, yep. Game on, mint. Chuck paid the 80 quid, chucked it in the back of the van. So me and Popman are just sat having a drink waiting for Jamie, and Popman goes, did you just buy a curved TV? I went, yeah. He says, the box is straight, it's not curved. Surely if it's a curved TV, the box would be a little, because the box was completely flat. I was like, yeah, you're probably right there, Harry. Yeah. Do you reckon I should check? No, it'd be all right anyway. So I drove all the way down the M6 thinking I've got a deal. Anyway, got there, cracked open the box, pulled out a chalkboard. Yeah, a chalkboard. And on the chalkboard, yeah, they'd written, you'd been done. God's honest truth. And I just opened this up. I went, yeah.
Had a plug in it as well, didn't it?
Yeah, had a plug in it.
Attached to it.
Yeah. I thought, yeah, you've done me. Yeah, you've had me a cork. That was great.
I actually seen yesterday, I think it was, someone had a similar thing. They'd bought a TV from someone and it was the menu board from KFC. You know, when you go around the drive-thru and there's a TV screen. That's what it was. They pulled out the box and they plugged it in and it was just...
Up with the KFC
it did
menu.
Nothing else other than the KFC menu.
Oh, God.
Do you know what the worst thing was, though? I didn't learn my lesson.
What, you've still been buying?
No, 3 weeks later, I was working in Hereford. I pulled up at a petrol station. I was working for Chris Edwards, CE Mechanical, just running around and stuff. Anyway, I pulled up, put in fuel. This guy's gone, do you want to buy a still saw? I was like, just so happens I did. At the time, honestly, God's arm, I'm not lying. He'll vouch for this. So he's got this still saw out of the box and everything like that. I'm looking, yeah, I've mint that. So I paid him, I think it was 60 quid or something. So paid him, no problem. Took it back there, opened the box. I thought, oh, this is all right. I can have rattles. They'd put a brick in the box, obviously inside the still saw engine, where the engine should be. There was no engine in it, and there was a brick, you know, for the weight.
Did he not start it out for you?
No, I just bought it out. It was in the box, so I just bought it.
Nice lad.
So that,
thick as fuck.
I know, but that was my only two times, and that's it. I haven't really admitted the still saw one, but a few people that are close to me know about it. But yeah,
now everyone, roughly 20,000 people will know.
Well done, Fast.
Why is Lee better than most of the hard enduro wannabes on Instagram? You got a fan, eh?
Yeah. That one video you posted going up that hill in Spain.
Yeah, that's all it needed, one video.
Well,
so, no, thanks for that.
That's
Lucas. Looks like I've got a lot of fans.
Lucas Eddie, yeah, there. You have. You have. You've not only fans, but you've got lots of fans.
Well, we could be here all night.
Well, we've done an hour and 14. We haven't had to cut anything yet. Normally by Tommy's, I look at that counter and think we've got to go backwards because we've got to cut a load of shit. There was one, I've scrolled past it now, and it sort of said, if you left Billy to his own devices to sort his own bike, how would he get on?
There you go. Go on. Tell them.
Honestly, to start with, never. But now, to be honest, people will be surprised how clever he actually is. He is very, very, very clever with the feeling of the bike, setup of the bike, knowing what to do to a bike.
Tommy's going to so badly listen to this question and go, nah, not happening.
No, honest. No, he is. And like, obviously, he could do it, but at the end of the day, it's not his job to do the bike. So, I mean, he's shit at changing filters. That's why, I mean, he'd change grips, change levers, do everything like that, but an air filter will be in there for about a week. He hates it. He comes back. I think no, he does do it to wind
do you know
up.
The reason I don't do it is because then you've got a dirty filter just rolling around your van for the rest of the week.
Why don't you put it in a bag?
Don't you factory boys just sling them and get a brand new oiled up, pre-oiled one?
Usually, yeah, that's what happens because it's... No, I'll do one and then for a week it'll just be in the back of my van, just like getting in the way. I'll try and keep it out the way, then it'll get back in the way. I'll either leave it at home for my dad to wash or to give it away to someone.
I actually clean air filters, Ed. To be fair.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do.
How many... I've just lost the question.
Not very often, but...
No, on a scale of 1 to 10, how sick of the phrase, check the sag, do you think Stan is?
I was about to do that. I've got so many sag questions.
No, because I'm not sick of it because he's actually...
Because I'm right all the... Yeah, most of the time,
90% of the time, he is right, whether it's altered... And when he's saying do the sag, he is right in which way it's gone or something like that. So I never really get bored of it because I know that if he's saying it, then it's obviously changed. So
can Billy teach Ed to do a 180?
Yeah,
they've obviously watched the latest vlog. Good lad.
Yeah, I was a few degrees short, wasn't I?
Yeah, first attempt was your best one, and then it went slowly downhill.
Well, the second one I got dirt in my eye, and the third one I just didn't give it enough. But I'm going to answer this one here, actually, because I need to talk about this. When are you bringing out 2 Pro 1 Slow Kex? It's probably going to be in the pipeline at some point, but we're having a bit of a dilemma with Kex at the minute. We've got... I don't even think I've told you this, have I?
Don't think so.
So there's a load of new Kex coming. They are on the boat. Or supposedly on the boat, and just as they're about to ship, the whole of the port's been closed down for a COVID breakout. So now we've got that took a week to figure out that, and now we've got 2 weeks of quarantine whilst all of the workers in the port are on quarantine, and then we've got the backlog. So I'm not going to be seeing the new Kex until the end of July now.
Oh shit!
So 6 weeks I got to wait.
Ed's going on holiday then.
Mm. I've got some at home you can sell.
So yeah,
in order to keep Ed busy, you'll have to go and buy a load of hoodies and t-shirts, won't you?
Yeah, well, I'm going to still carry. Well, we've still got socks and we've still got what's in stock, but there's just going to be no new releases. But when we come back, when we get the new stock, we'll drop with the bang and we'll start with a. We've got a Billy Bolt collab, haven't we?
Billy Bolt one coming.
Got your own one. We've also got a Matt Jones collab and many, many more. So,
why were you so shit at the Manx 2-day trial?
Because I spent 95% of it pissed.
Yeah, but you also spent 6 weeks getting ready for it. You bought yourself a new bike, new gear.
No, that's
told
true.
Told everybody how good you were at trials these days, and then you went to the trial and fucking Nathan beat you.
Well, yeah.
You were last on the hard course.
Yeah. No, I was shit. The more and more time I spent practicing on the trials bike, the shitter that I was.
Yeah, you were
awful. Obviously, Manx 2-day, for people that don't know, it's a trial in the Isle of Man.
Let me guess, is it over 2 days?
It is actually, yeah.
Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday. Me, Billy, Jamie, McCanny, Nathan,
Moff wasn't there this year.
No, we all went and did it.
Manx Lunatics.
Yeah, we all went and did it And yeah, it was a cracking 2 days.
It was brilliant. Hilarious.
TPI or carb? And that's for directed at you, Stan.
Can Billy answer that?
Well, TPI and carb different to work on as a mechanic?
TPI easier, less to do.
Yeah, I get that. But if you have a problem with a TPI,
it is
very hard to find the problem.
Yeah, without going to like from a public perspective.
Yeah,
without plugging it in or something.
Without going to a shop who's got like a diagnosis kit or whatever.
Do you have to plug it in a laptop to find out what's wrong with it then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think many people have got them in the garage to just crack along. Do you love changing your forks last minute, Bill?
What's that referring to?
I've no
idea. Lagara's vlog when you wouldn't let me change the forks for Super Enduro. Can you remember?
Yeah, that was the day before, though.
Likes giving me... When we're in the truck and we're moping around and stuff and he can see that I'm not actually doing anything...
He just makes your job.
He just makes up a job.
Just wire them spokes up, please, so then he has to wire every spoke under the wheel or just get a spare wheel ready so then he has to go and drill a moose or something. It's fucking brilliant. What's the funniest story about working with Billy?
It's been that many.
Where's your girlfriend?
Which one?
Donna, what is the female situation? I've been away for a week, so it could have changed dramatically since I left. Don't I give a
female
shout-out?
Situation.
Well, I think quite a lot of men watch this podcast, but I can pull up the demographic and we can see.
Is it stable at the moment, or are you looking still?
I haven't got one at the moment.
Are you looking?
Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, always looking. But yeah. I had, to be fair, last night one made me my tea.
That's right, cancel, because with this topic...
One made me my tea. When is Graham coming on the podcast?
I actually mentioned that to him, to be fair.
And did you? Graham would be good.
Can you imagine what response I got?
But if you get Graham talking, he won't stop. But trying to get him talking is
not in the UK that much. But I do think he would come on. I've got a few favours in stock. I tagged Java Signature Tours a couple of times this week, and I've got a couple of vlogs coming from my week there.
We do need a bit of more enduro chat in the YouTube comments on the last one. Someone commented something along the lines of, is this the Tommy show? Let Billy talk or something. We need more Billy. So
this has been quite good today, hasn't it? With the enduro, this is
it's quite enduro.
We haven't talked about motocross, have we? Really?
Yeah, this would be a good one.
No.
When's Lee getting a pay rise?
Yeah. When am I?
That's not my department.
No.
Biggest pet hate about Billy? How fussy is Billy? How many subframes has Billy snapped? There's three.
There's nothing wrong with us. No pet hates.
No. Not really. To be fair, I think in 4 years we have there hasn't been like any serious arguments or like anything. To be honest with you, it's all been pretty.
Yeah, I think
good.
When you grow up, though, I don't really argue with
it. Yeah, that's what we said it.
Said it
podcast,
before.
Like,
I haven't got time.
What's the point of it? Like,
I've always said to Billy from the day that I've started, I've always said, you have a problem with me, you tell me, and I'll fuck off. Simple as that. That's what I'm saying.
I remember after the first year, he got offered like a contract for the next year, and he rang us and going, they offered us another contract. Is that all right with it? Are you sure that's all right? If you're sick of us, I'll just go if you don't want us to sign it.
And no, it's right because I just don't see the point in dragging it out.
It was cute how serious he was taking it, the fact I might not like him.
No, I think you get on well. I think you work well together. So
yeah, it definitely.
And you know each other now. It's quite a nice thing, isn't it? Like you pretty much trust each other to do what you need to do.
I have to fucking know him. He sleeps at my house in 5 nights a week.
Yeah, Billy just moves into people's houses.
I do Ed's the other two, so these two are pretty.
We had. Did you see that Santa Cruz bike that got delivered the other day?
Yeah,
and it said Lee Edmondson, and it said Billy Bolt Daycare. So I messaged Ed a picture of it, and I said, "I think they've got the wrong address. I think the daycare centre's at yours."
Nah, I spread myself out pretty well.
It's good that we do get on because I think it's not really a normal like rider relation or like rider mechanic relationship I think that we've got.
No,
I think it's
not.
I think it's more of a like Billy can't tolerate many people, and that's the truth.
That's true. I feel lucky. People annoy now.
You need to be lucky.
Probably don't know that I am quite intolerant to most people. Not intolerant. Like I just get sick of people quite easily.
People that he's never even met, like the drive-through woman at Costa or something like that. It just does his head in.
I do get irritated very, very easily. And like especially at races and stuff like that, and like it definitely hindered us a lot in the past. I'm a lot better at not letting it affect us now. But
were really bad
from the start of working with Stanny. Like understood pretty well like what I was like and kind of what I needed and what I didn't need. Like if there's someone needs telling to fuck off out the way, Stan's not scared of telling them to fuck off and get out the way, which is definitely
You have to, because
one of his strongest points.
People are coming to ask him questions at like the start of a race or something like that, and you know that the question in the grass is just going to wind him up. It's just going to start him off, so you don't need that at the start of a race.
No.
So you either tell him to fuck off or
come back later.
Yeah, come back later or something like that. You just can't do it, or someone asks a stupid question. So yeah, I think we're on that side, we're on the same kind of page. So that's why it's been quite good.
You got a shout out here from Charlie Blondel, who said, can you thank Stan for giving me and the boys a lift to the Romaniacs party in 2019?
Did you?
I don't know.
2019?
Says 2019.
You weren't there. No, that was the year. The year you were there, it was at the factory. That was... That
yeah,
was
18 it. I was yeah. there.
Oh, 19.
19 was...
You didn't go 19? Was where the swimming pool was?
No, I did. Yeah, I did. When Nathan lost his shoe. Yeah.
Never to be found. If anyone in Sibiu ever finds, I think it was a black Air Max or an Air Force One.
That was funny.
It's Nathan's.
That was, I mean, Romaniacs after party, Megawatt after party, all Super Enduro after parties.
If you notice what Stan's favourite part of the race is, there's a recurring theme going on there.
It's the after party.
Sunday night.
Yeah, Sunday night. And then, like, the Italians... who we work with, I drive with Alfredo Gomez's mechanic, Giorgio, and he's just got it to a T now that he does the first stint on the Monday morning when we're travelling back, because he knows that I'm off my head or delicate, he sits me in the back, lying across the seats, and I'm just, obviously, you know when you've had a few beers and you start farting and stuff like that, stinking, and he's just driving down the road, and he wears balaclavas, and he's got it up, over his face, and he's just driving down the road. That says nothing.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's funny.
There's I don't know what channel it's on, but there's quite a famous video of you changing a top end or something at Romaniacs 1 year. When he's
18.
In what, 15 minutes, wasn't it, something?
Yeah, it was about 15 minutes or something. It was, to be fair, it wasn't me. It was part of me. It was me and Damo, mainly.
Damo, when there's a job like that, he likes to take control.
And he had a broken thumb, didn't he?
He wasn't even meant to be at Romania, was he? He just couldn't stay away. He just loves it that
Damo's,
much.
Damo's Graham's mechanic. So me and Damo get to travel a lot together, and we're always at the factory together. And to be fair, anything like he's so clever. He's the bollocks. Yeah, he's mint.
He's been doing a bit of racing, hasn't he, lately? I see him at Sprint Enduro.
He was at Hoxton.
He did my pit stop for me as well. You boys did.
Yeah, he did
Hoxton. Oh yeah, Cam.
He hated Hoxton. It's not me. This
too for him.
Too good. He's well out of my league. I just go and shag rocks around Cam. No good. He's brilliant.
Yeah, he was. I invited him riding the other day, because if I hadn't invited riding him, I'd have been a twat for not inviting him riding.
Yeah.
When I was up the other night, and he went, "What do I want to be coming out riding with you for? I'm not going to be able to do anything you're going to do." I said, "All right." I was just like, if you wanted to come out and, you know, have a rendezvous or something, or just say hello or whatever, he said, "Oh, I'm at work."
That Romaniacs, I think Billy come into the service check thinking it's game over, in it, the bike's kind of melted itself. That's no good. And the next thing you know, there's like three of us just going full bore.
Yeah, rattle guns,
stripping it down. And he's sat in the chair, and I can remember like doing the bike. I'm like, come on, Billy, get ready. And he's still sat in the chair. I don't like just didn't expect it to be done that quick. And then it fired up, and then off he went. But it was a year that your knee kept locking as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I was actually really good that afternoon. I can't remember that year. I just remember I was fucking pleased to see the finish line.
Yeah.
It locked. Oh, no, it wasn't here. That was last year. I had a quite incident on the way to the airport. Do you remember? In the garage. My rib.
What? No.
Your garage, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, wasn't it?
What?
My rib.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I remember.
Like, that was the most bizarre thing that's ever happened.
Oh, you was doubled up, weren't you?
I was just on the floor, like, unable to move, and then... The next day was a little bit better than the next day. I was brand new. But
he was trying to crack his back and put them rattle doctor gun things in him.
Couldn't work out what was going on. I went to a physio when I got there and he reckoned my rib had dislocated.
Did it?
Yeah, I dislodged itself or something.
Fucking hell.
And I was brand new by the time the race had started, but that was bizarre. But yeah, my knee kept locking that year. I actually rode Fleur de Romania on the Saturday and I rode on the Friday that year, 2018. And yeah, rode the Friday on my way to the airport and just tapped my knee on a stump sticking out the ground, and then my knee was locked, like quite a tight angle.
Can you remember on...
So I crutched my way to Romania and then it freed off by the time the race started, but then it kept locking quite a bit throughout the race. It was a long year.
Can you remember when Ben was on, you were on about the... I sent you the video, didn't I, of Nathan coming in Romania.
Oh, that was a good...
At the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the same year.
We need him on this channel.
Never seen any... Like, I'd finished all the bikes and everything.
Riders briefing. We were walking to the riders briefing.
I sent you the time, wasn't it? It was about 9 o'clock.
Quarter to nine, I think. And the riders briefing was 9 o'clock. I remember I'd came... been at the hotel, obviously, for hours, to be fair. But I'd came back down to the van to get some water to clean my Yusui bladder out. Just and then was going to go from there to the riders' briefing. So it was that riders' briefing was 9 o'clock, and then I was on FaceTime to somebody. I can't remember who it was.
And Nathan,
it was you in the paddock. You were at the van, and I was on FaceTime to you. And I said, on my way walking down, because the paddock was like 5 minutes walk away from the hotel. I says, Nathan back yet? And you were like, no, he's still not in. Yeah, he's still out there, apparently. Then I seen him coming up the road. And I was like, he's here. Just started sprinting, hung up on him, just started sprinting down to the paddock.
As he comes
there.
The video when I was filming it, like he come round and he's got like, he's still smiling. Yeah. And he even gets the bike and puts the bike on the stand. I would have just launched it clean into the tent. But he put the bike on the stand and he come round to me and I says, oh, welcome to Hard Enduro, son. What do you think? And he just looked at me. Fucking shit.
That same day, there's a guy, I'll give him a quick shout out, Paul Mackay, he'll be buzzing with that. For anyone in Enduro, he'll enjoy the story now they know he is. He said he was riding Iron that year, and obviously even the Iron riders were struggling, and I think they were just pretty much trying to survive. And he said he was just riding down a forest road, looked up and just seen Nathan with no helmet on, two GPSs in his hand, just wandering down the road. Like, looked like a lost child, just wandering, trying to find safety. So he said, he stopped with him and said, are you all right? And I'm just trying to find this checkpoint. He said, all right, where's your bike? He just went, it's in a tree up there. And he went, all right. And then set off. And then, that was this bit where he had to get his bike out of a tree with a rope and stuff. But he said he's just wandering around with two GPSs in his hand, just looking lost.
Yeah, so if you're listening, Nathan, make sure next time you're in the UK, you book in to come and see us, because we've got loads of stuff, and no doubt you'll have loads of questions about it. Come and tell us your story. Yeah.
I bet he's got some proper stories as well.
He was FaceTime the last day, do you remember, him and Garcia?
Ah, yeah.
We were at the finish line, and him and Garcia was like, we don't think we're going to make it. We love everybody.
Yeah, to me, wasn't it? Yeah, I can remember that.
Tell Fabio we're stuck.
Yeah.
Everyone sat at the finish line having a beer, like, thank God that week's over. They're just still in the middle of the mountains on FaceTime.
It was like a plus, like, weird number. I'm like, who's FaceTiming me that's thing? And then it just clicked on, and then Nathan and Garcia are just sat there. I'm like, what are you doing, boys? We're stuck. And that's all they said. Just tell everybody we love them. If you don't come back.
And you never see us again.
Yeah. And then about an hour and a half later, they come in together.
Oh, dear.
Bless them. I mean, on a thing, I'm good luck to Garcia this weekend. I hope he's back in World
Enduro. GP after a couple of years out, bless him.
Well, this might not go out until then, but...
We'll know.
We'll know, but...
Raining in Portugal looks lovely.
But on the other end of Enduro GP, old MX Bills, we're going World Enduro
Bill.
Next week.
Special Test Bill.
Special Test Bill.
Oh, well, this will be out before then, so...
Special Test Bill. Next week. It is next week.
Yeah, next week.
There's a lot of MX Bill, Special Test Bill, One Bang Bill.
One Bang Bill.
There's a lot of these here names floating about.
I got a few names for him and all.
Come on then.
Special Test Bill's coming out next week.
I'm looking forward to that next week.
Yeah, and then Serious Bill, because then we've got the first round is meant to be the third round. Do you know what else I remember the other day, Ed? We forgot to do a preview for Esberg. I know it didn't happen, but...
Yeah, well, fucking hell. Don't matter. Where are you racing now?
So then the next... extreme race, which will meant to be the third round of the championship, but it's now going to be the first round of the championship, is also in Italy, a Bastoni.
New one.
The new race, yeah.
Can't preview it then.
Yeah, well, I also thought, we can't preview that one. So the preview,
can if you get there earlier and you do a bit of filming.
Yeah, we're going to. I'll try and get you there. Definitely. So the preview of the previews on my channel's kind of gone a bit tits up. We'll try again with that one next year.
Most of your channel goes quite a bit tits up.
Yeah, it was great. I usually save it, but I always start off considerably more ambitious. The other week I went, I'm going to daily vlog this week. I vlogged once and it came out 3 weeks later.
There is one thing that does my head in when I'm sharing a room with him and he's editing.
He gets well angry.
He says the same thing, he'll just say MX Bill or something, but he'll play it over and over again.
Because you're trying to get to the beat.
Oh, it does my head in.
Most people that sit next to me when I'm editing don't like it.
Yeah.
But because you're not really listening to it, you're looking at other bits, you don't really...
We were staying at the apartment in Italy by the workshop once, and me and Stan were sharing, there's like a twin room and then a sofa bed in the living room, and we're all... finished eating the next night, a demo was out on the sofa bed and he goes, hey, put some fucking headphones in if you're going to do any editing tonight. I didn't even realise he could hear it the night before, but apparently it was quite loud.
Yeah, it was.
Well, you see this chat we've had for an hour and 35 minutes, I'll have to listen to this all over again.
That's a big job. I've been editing on the plane on the way here, though, to be fair.
He said on the way in, just before we started, he said, I've nearly got a vlog out. And I turned to Stan and said, I'd have been impressed with that if he'd have got rid of the nearly part.
I would have.
Because your nearly could be fucking miles away.
No, I'd be ready by the weekend, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly.
Busy lad. What was I going to say? I nearly missed my flight this morning because I lost my GoPro. It ended up being where I'd left it, but I spent an hour when I was meant to be packing looking for my GoPro around Jarvis Land. And then I've had an awful morning, to be honest. I just, when everything at the airport goes wrong, you're running late, and then the person in front to drop the hire car off couldn't get into the car park. She couldn't get the barrier to open, and then massive queues, and then I had a dreadful journey here. But anyway, we've made it.
Well, shall we wrap her up?
Yeah, I think that's gone well, to be fair.
I think it's been good. You've been a good guest. Thanks for coming.
Definitely.
No problem. What is the longest podcast that you've done?
This one.
Is it?
Well, I don't know, on par. Probably trim a few minutes off.
So it's going to be an hour 50.
It's going to be the most views and the longest.
Yeah.
And the most quality content with no moaning.
Yeah. We're doing a giveaway. We went out again.
Yeah, now we're doing giveaways. We're back to the Factory Image Racing giveaway.
We haven't actually done much plugging in this podcast, to be fair. So, thank you to Factory Image Racing for providing another podcast.
They rang me the other day. Actually, I'm
happy.
Very happy with that. I don't know whether it's official or not official yet, or whether it's going ahead. But I think they're having a stand on the Western Beach race.
Oh yeah.
And you're not there, are you? You can't do it.
We don't know yet.
At the minute, there's a.
They asked if Tommy was going to race it, which I don't know if he will, and then they also said would he come and do an autograph signing, and I haven't said yes yet, but I'm pretty sure he will.
That'd be good.
He'll have to, won't he?
So
if he's not
something to look forward to,
he'll definitely will. If he thinks it's going to be good for his image, he'll definitely be there.
Yeah,
well,
he'll make a vlog out of it as well, won't it?
I went to Western Beach Race. Didn't ride.
But I didn't ride because I might get wet feet. What would you want? 3 hours with wet feet?
Yeah.
So we're back to... Well, we've done all the giveaways. We've done one of everything. So we're back around to a gazebo again now. So if you want to win a Factory Image Racing gazebo, same rules apply. Comment on the YouTube channel of comment on the episode, sorry, not the YouTube channel. Comment on the episode of this episode. So yeah, if you're listening.
If you're listening, get over to YouTube. We might as well let it play for a bit, get us a bit of watch time, haven't you? Just put it on in the background if you, I don't know.
Put it on and repeat, to be honest with you.
Yeah, put it on repeat, get the watch time up, it'll all help.
Don't skip the ads.
Don't skip the ads, or as I knock your teeth out.
If there's any ladies out there,
yeah.
They can watch it, can't they, as well?
Yeah, or message Stan.
Can put a face to the voice if anyone doesn't know what Stan looks like.
Yeah.
The U3 for me, which we mentioned last week, prize hasn't been claimed. So if your name's Tim and you entered and you haven't watched the vlog,
there's going to be some serious
Tim. What are we going to do with Tim if Tim doesn't claim?
If Tim doesn't claim, well, I'll have to have a think, but it will be given away on another.
Can I sell it?
Yeah, you'll do what you do with Tim, the TVs Tim and sell it with Tim, like rocks in the bottom. Yeah.
If Tim doesn't claim it, then speak to Stan. We can start bidding with Stan. But nah, if Tim doesn't claim it, we will come up with another giveaway. But like I say, we're busy. Me and Stan get really busy for the next few weeks, so it'll be probably a couple of months' time by the time. If Tim's listening, sort your life out and go and claim it. It's on the vlog probably by this time. This comes out 2 vlogs ago, but it's in the title anyway. You'll see the picture. That's the thumbnail. You've got no excuse really, Tim.
Have you been content? Nice temperature as well while you've been in here?
Yeah, as always, we're pleasant, in a pleasant environment, just thanks to DC air conditioning. We haven't actually picked a winner for that, but it definitely gained enough traction after my last little push. So I will pick a winner. I'll speak to Danny from DC air conditioning, and we'll decide how we're going to pick a winner. But so thanks to those that entered on the DC air conditioning side. Any more add-ons? You got any sponsors, Stan?
No,
I've had enough now. Can I go?
Yeah, you've got to just be on your phone now and pretend you're not interested at all.
In fact, no. One last thing, Stan. Come on, you got anything to sell us?
Not a minute. I've got a very large stock of mats.
Yeah, plug your mats.
Yeah, I've got rubber back mats, but that's all I've got at the moment.
So that's shit, right? He's not even trying to sell it because he's bought the shittest blue roll which you could ever possibly imagine.
Oh, Billy's not happy with the blue
it's
roll.
It's pure shit.
He's always mad.
If he tries to sell you blue roll, don't do one.
Right, well, that's it. Thanks again for watching and listening. Any questions regarding bikes or bike setup or anything, message Stan.
What is it, Atlee Eddie 9?
No.
I'll put his tag in the bottom. Message
anything you want to know, my bike, Ed's bike, anyone's bike,
anything,
Graham's
mountain
bike,
bikes, anything.
You know, he does it all. Any mechanical knowledge, you know, yeah. He's studied hard, he's got all the qualifications, so anyone needs any help with the mechanical exams or anything you want to know, just get him. He'll have a useful answer for you.
Mint.
Right. Catch you all later.
See you in a bit.
Bye.
Ta-da.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.